The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Foster asking, I think Tyrann Mathieu is great for the Texans defense. What are the odds they give him a contract extension? I think it's too early to make that determination.
I'm not 100% if he's...
I think he's playing really well. I just don't know that I'd want to give him a whole bunch of money right now. This is one of the things I always complain about the Texans. Like, oh, I don't know, giving Bill O'Brien a four-year extension.
Right.
Matt Schaub, giving him an extension coming off an injury. Well, you don't need to. That's why I'm okay with him not giving Clowney an extension right now. People asking about the Jimmy Butler thing. I don't know that I'm all that impressed with Jimmy Butler. Apparently, they want both Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker, and the Rockets are balking at Tucker. I almost balk more at Gordon. I know it's a big contract.
But that's the thing. You can't get players without giving players. Giving up Eric Gordon wouldn't bother me so much because Jimmy Butler would take his minutes for the most part.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler's better than Eric Gordon.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, lots of good stuff. Very sportsy, a little non-sportsy in the first hour, then very sportsy in the second hour. We had Kerry Brook on, so she had some fun takes as well. All available at podcastarena.com. Go and check it out. The whole show. Great stuff. And now we just have to decide if we're going to do sports or non-sports. How do you feel like? I feel like it's been a Monday and Tuesday were really, really sportsy.
They were.
And then I feel like the first hour was fun. The second hour was very sportsy. Fun, but sportsy.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like? And that's the beauty of the show. We can kind of take it wherever we want.
You know?
I have a little of everything here today.
I'm kind of, maybe we should talk a little bit of sports. That way we can get it all out of us and no one will tweet me tonight about sports.
Oh, no, they'll tweet you. That's going to happen. You've opened it up now. You know that. So, okay, so here's some sports for you. What are the odds of playoffs in college football get expanded after this year? I'm going to say 0% after this year. I think it almost seems like there is no movement within the people who are making these decisions for it ever to happen.
Yeah.
So I think at some point they'll realize there's more money to be made and they will expand them, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
But can we agree that so far, like there was so much complaining about the BCS and obviously before the BCS was around, there was even more complaining about who's being left out. Don't you kind of feel like since they've gone to this 14 playoff, there's been less complaining about that?
No, not really. That first year was all about Baylor and TCU bitching.
I feel like that was a huge. Though.
Well, I mean, I feel like they've gotten it right, but that doesn't stop the bitching.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, do you really care if Baylor fan and TCU fan are bitching?
No, but I mean, people are going to bitch. That's the thing. Yeah, I don't think you can just say, oh, well, nobody bitches.
I guess Central Florida bitched last year.
Right. Whether you agree with them or not is kind of immaterial. But yeah, there's been bitching every year. And if we go to 6 or 8, guess what? There'll be more bitching.
Yeah.
It's just like the basketball tournament. You went to 68. Well, guess who's bitching now? 69 and 70 as opposed to 65 and 66. So, yeah, I think there's been a lot of complaints about, but in my opinion, I think it's worked out the right way pretty much every year. I don't think there's too many, you know, I don't agree with the bitching. Like Central Florida last year, I did not think they belonged in there. They didn't have the signature win over a Power 5 program that they needed if they were going to get in there. I thought they were really good, but you can't sit there and take a bowl win over Auburn, right, a completely unmotivated Auburn team that thought it was going to be in the playoffs, and then call yourselves national champions.
Right.
And that's the thing, because bowl games outside of the playoff are exhibitions. That is all they are. And it meant a lot to Central Florida. That game meant nothing to Auburn. And if it had been a playoff game, I don't think it would have been the same result.
Yeah.
But that's just me. So, no, I don't think there's a lot of – now, this year – I think we'll see what happens. If you wind up with, all right, let's say Ohio State runs the table.
Okay.
Let's say Alabama runs the table. Notre Dame runs the table. You got all three. Well, let's throw Clemson in there.
Okay.
Let's say they're all undefeated.
There's no problems.
There's nobody who's going to be able to complain.
Right.
Because a one-loss Texas.
Well, what about an undefeated West Virginia?
They would be left out, and then that would be where you're – that'd be where your problem came from.
Yeah.
Because I can't see them getting in over – well, they wouldn't – I can't see them getting in over those teams.
I can't either.
The bigger bitch would be one-loss Georgia with a loss to Alabama by 3 points in the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
That, to me, would be a better case than an unbeaten West Virginia.
But, I mean, if you've got four undefeated teams, it worked out perfectly. I mean, that, you know.
Yeah, but you could also – in that scenario, you could argue that Georgia's better than any of those other teams in the playoff, if that happens.
Absolutely, you could.
And that they deserve a shot more than unbeaten Clemson.
And maybe it's not fair, but at the end of the day, they'll look back at the West Virginia schedule and say, well, that game you had at North Carolina State got canceled. That's one less bit, you know, solid win you could have had on your schedule, which sucks for them. Not their fault the hurricane hit.
No.
But
and basically, you're going to look at, okay, you beat Oklahoma, who now has, well, you're probably going to have to beat Oklahoma or Texas twice.
Yeah.
If you go undefeated.
And they still have to beat TCU.
Yeah, and, well, TCU doesn't look as sexy anymore.
No, but I'm just saying, it's not an easy schedule for
me. No, it's not an easy schedule, but, I mean, if you start looking back at those wins aren't going to be good enough.
No.
Beating Texas,
they're not going to be better than what these other teams are.
And then beating one of them again a second time, that's not going to be enough to get you in. So that would be where your argument would come from. It's like, oh, they were undefeated and they won the Big 12, they should get in. But we're not going to have five undefeated teams.
I don't think so.
Either. I'll be surprised if we have more than one in the end. I think there's nobody beating Alabama.
I wouldn't be surprised if Notre Dame was undefeated at the end.
Yeah, I still think they'll choke to somebody. I still think maybe at USC. But, and if they're undefeated, they're in because they're Notre Dame. It really doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Man, that USC game, remember yesterday we talked about it. I was like, man, I don't know why nobody's back in Colorado. And then I looked at USC's schedule a little deeper. USC's played a pretty tough schedule.
Well, and they're really good at home.
Yeah.
Road not so good. Home,
so I may be backing good. Off what I'm thinking about doing with Colorado. That may be a bad call.
Timmy B says, if you had to place a bet on the first quarterback from the last three draft classes to win an MVP, would you take Mahomes or the field?
I'd take Jared Goff.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
This year might be the year. I'd take the field for sure.
I would take the field because I have Goff.
Yeah.
And as much as I think right now Mahomes might be in the lead for that, I also think I'm just going to go on past performances and the fact that Andy Reid teams tend to start slowing down a little bit after getting off to a fast start, especially the last couple of years. And I don't know that Jared Goff is slowing down if that guy stays healthy.
Man.
But those two teams meet in November. How cool would it be if they're both 10-0?
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now, I mean, God, they're so close. Goff has 1,727 yards Mahomes has 1,513. Goff is 12-4 TD to interception. Mahomes 14-2.
That's pretty amazing.
But here's the crazy number on Goff. 72% passer or 72% completion percentage. Mahomes is 63%.
I mean, both good, but 72 is outstanding.
That is outstanding, and as I'm looking at the passer stats in the NFL this year, do you know someone's got a 77.9% completion percentage?
Really?
Drew Brees.
Wow.
Almost 78%? It's insane. Like, if you hit that, if you hit 70, that's that's wow.
Well, he was kind of flying under the radar until Monday night because they lost the Bucs, and you kind of think, and they haven't looked that impressive. But dude, what he did against Atlanta, I mean, offensively, they've been pretty impressive. A3O brings up a good point. At this point, adding teams, talking about the playoff, would probably cause more bitching since rankings get more ambiguous further out. I think the arguments get... the farther out you get, the arguments get a little bit more. Yeah. So he asked, what if Miami beats Clemson in the ACC championship game? Do they get in?
No.
I not in the scenario we're talking about. A one-loss Miami would not get in over an undefeated West Virginia, or a one-loss Texas or OU out of the Big 12. They wouldn't get in over them. I don't know that they'd get in over a one-loss Georgia that's only loss was to Alabama.
Nope. If there's teams with one loss, they're all going to take a backseat to whoever the runner-up in the SEC is. Or a one-loss Notre Dame.
Yeah. I think all those would have an advantage.
Yeah. Especially because if you look at a one-loss Georgia versus a one-loss Miami, a one-loss Georgia would mean that they beat LSU. Miami's loss was to LSU. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I think they're going to need a lot of help. Yeah, I think one loss, but they're going to need one. They're going to need two losses from some other teams to get in.
Yeah,
if that's the case, I think they'd probably get in over a one loss Pac-12 team.
I think so too. And the same thing goes for the Big Ten schools that have one loss now. Penn State or Michigan, if they somehow end up with one loss and they win the Big Ten somehow.
Yeah, those schools aren't really out of it yet.
Yeah, but really, the Big Ten and the SEC are the only places where you can really afford a loss and still be in the conversation if everybody else has one loss.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of the way the whole thing sets up now. Is that those two conferences are going to have a little bit of an advantage, and they should. I think those are the two.
They're best conferences. Yeah. The more I think about it with Oregon, if Oregon runs the table the rest of the way, I think they'd be worth looking at. I don't know that they will. I don't know that they'll finish off the season, but if they do...
Yeah, they could lose this week, frankly.
And their one loss is that insanely fluky loss. I'd listen to an argument for them. All right, guys. Got to tell you about Bill Advisor. If you own your home, listen to my words. The guys over at Bill Advisor, they're about to save you big money on your home insurance. Shopping for a better deal on your policy, it's always been a hassle. Used to take hours to get a reliable quote. Then someone came along and made it 15 minutes to save a few percent. Bill Advisor's got a new system. It's even faster, and you're probably going to save a ton of money. They're going to deliver you a firm insurance quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. Grab your phone now. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You send that back. You're going to get a full quote with excellent coverage within seconds. The savings are real, guys. The average homeowner is saving over $790 a year. Real coverage with real savings real fast. It's 2018. No one has 15 minutes anymore. Bill Advisor is going to find you savings in seconds. It's the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text the word money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote today from Bill Advisor.
Houston Sports Talk with some certified Angus beefsteaks. What could be better?
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the official ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today by searching ESPN Houston in your app store. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You got a lot of texts asking, what about would this team get in over a one-loss Texas, and would this team get in over a one-loss Texas? Guys, I think I'm glad the Longhorns won. That was a big win for them. But I think you're getting a little ahead of yourselves with this one-loss Texas thing. And I'll tell you why. 2 weeks ago, you barely beat Kansas State.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. You just ran up the – you beat an Oklahoma team with no defense, and that's a big win. That's also a big rivalry win. But they're going to lose a game to a team that they're not supposed to lose to. That's just – it's going to happen. Whether it might even be Baylor this week.
Could. But I think the reason they're getting excited is Texas is going to be favored in every game going forward.
And
not that that means anything.
No.
Tom Herman's been – he's struggled when he's favored, he's been at his worst.
I have a whole theory about that. I mean, he does so much on emotion. There's a reason he gets his
teams
up.
He's a rah-rah guy.
He is. And he gets his teams up for the big games. But you can't do that every single game. And I think it's real easy – yeah, to lose to a Baylor, an Okie State, or a Texas Tech, or an Iowa State even. And because you're not going to get up for those teams. And that's – so I'll buy it when they get to the end of the season with one loss. I'm skeptical. I think they're going to win 8 or 9 games or 10 games even this year, and that's going to be a hell of a season. But I'm not ready to put them in a playoff conversation yet. So Sam Lamont said, would you be in favor of NFL realignment, make the divisions more regional? I know you guys will throw up the history of historical divisions and conference, but I don't care about the historical stuff. The problem is, like the NFC East, all those teams care about it.
Yeah.
And none of those teams want to see the Cowboys out of that division, which, you know, would it make more sense to have Cowboys, Saints, and Texans in a division? Probably. And you'd have some pretty good rivalries there, I think. But I just think it's the NFC East would – the other teams will never go for it. They want the Cowboys in there. It's a big deal to them.
Yeah, because the Giants and the Redskins, I mean, that's the Eagles. Yeah. The Cowboys are a big rival to a lot of teams.
And it'll be interesting because when you put Jacksonville in England, it's not really the AFC South anymore. So I do think you'd need to do something starting with that. I would be okay with tearing up the whole thing and starting over. But I think if the popularity of the league were to start dipping, that might be a
good way to do it. Major League Baseball did that once. They realigned basically by, and that's when the Astros got moved around, basically by where you're at, which made more sense than it used to. But
yeah, it was still weird sending the Astros to the American League. It seems natural now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty weird to have that much history. But you know what?
Even now, it's not ideal for them to be in the AL West where...
No, but they have that rivalry with the Rangers.
Most
man.
Of their road trips are, hours away.
Well, it's two teams in the division, basically. I mean, it's Angels and A's that you have to go out there.
Well, in Seattle,
yeah, I guess, so three. But that doesn't bother me very much. I actually like 9 o'clock baseball sometimes. It doesn't strike me as that irritating. Because when they were in the old NL West, they used to go out and play the Dodgers and Giants. Yeah. Every year, and it was the same thing. I remember those Giants games at 9:30 at night, and everybody's wearing jackets in the middle of the summer because it's so cold and the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it just seems completely natural now that they're in the AL, maybe because they won. But Emiliano says, put Miami in the AFC South and Jacksonville in the North. But how does that fit when you're in England? They'd have to be in the AFC East.
Yeah.
You might flip-flop Miami and Jacksonville.
Right.
Would Miami be okay with that? I mean, I would be if...
But Miami has... They've got built-in rivalries with the Dolphins. Or, I mean, with
the Jets primarily, but also Jets the Patriots.
And the Bills.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Although, I don't know how much of a rivalry that is in terms of fan interest, because it's not like the Dolphins draw that much.
Right.
But still, and yet that's the problem. You have all these established rivalries now, allegedly. I mean, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see him just say, you know what, let's start from scratch on alignment.
Yeah.
And do something that makes the most sense. And, you've got enough. It seems like at least the AFC West, with the exception of Kansas City, and the NFC West seems fine to me now.
How cool would it be if They just put 32 team names in a bag, and you drew out either a red or a blue card, and that was AFC or NFC, and they just realigned based on that.
That would what if every single West Coast team drew the same color card?
I mean, that's not the end of the world.
It would be a logistical nightmare.
The NBA does it that way.
What do you mean?
They've got a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but...
It's a hockey... I mean, they've got the same thing.
I don't know. I don't think that would work. I just think there's too many logistical problems with that. Yeah. I think just...
I don't think it would ever happen. I'm just thinking, I mean, it'd be funny.
Yeah. I remember when the Texans first came in the league, there was some talk at one point of putting them in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Which would have been, I think would have been better. I think it was going to be New Orleans, Atlanta, and I don't know if they were moving Tampa or Carolina. I don't know who the team that would have moved would have been, and they just decided not to do it. But that, if you had New Orleans and Atlanta in that division, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, that seems like a more natural rivalry.
Texans, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincy, like the old days, says Manny. But, man, the Ravens-Browns rivalry is really strong. Ravens-Steelers is really strong.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is you lost that opportunity because the Ravens just sort of stepped in there.
Yeah.
And that there's always going to be a natural rivalry with the Browns because where the Ravens
their
came
team,
from.
Just like the Texans with the Titans.
Yeah. And so I think it's better to keep those guys together. Jeez, I don't know what's going on with this thing over here, but it keeps cutting out.
What does?
My headphones, yeah.
Great. Just plug them into this other thing.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right, what do we have here, John? Man Centers. Yeah, if you're not feeling super manly, like maybe you feel like your testosterone's a little bit low, you don't have that same drive in the bedroom, you don't have that same drive at work, you don't have that same drive at the gym, could be low testosterone, guys, and it's not the end of the world. Man Centers can take care of it. And we're not talking about those synthetic injections that are going to cause a crash and cause dependency and damage fertility and can even cause shrinkage. That's not what we're talking about. Man Centers focuses on enhancing your body's natural ability to produce testosterone on its own. Check them out. They've got three locations, Houston at Katy Freeway and Campbell there in the Memorial area, off 249 in Tomball, and now open in Webster, and they will check you out for free. It's $150 value. They'll give you that free general male wellness checkup. The Y Factor presented by Man Centers. It's the home of the free general male wellness checkup. Schedule yours today. 832-358-8600 or go to mancenters.com to book your appointment online. It's the Y Factor presented by Man Centers, helping men lead better, more fulfilling lives.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Hey Houston, this is Tony Kent with the Houston Astros, and you're listening to the number one sports show in Houston, The Blitz, with Fred and AJ.
And we're back. Thank you, Tony Kemp. Met a lot of people trying to do this realignment to get Dallas and Houston together. I hate to be the...
Like, does it really get Texan fan worked up to play the Cowboys?
It gets Texan fan worked up, but guess what? Texan fan, you're not going to want to hear this, but I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
You know who else gets worked up when they play Texas? Baylor. Texas is their big rival. You know who gets worked up for Texas? Texas Tech. You know who else gets worked up? Fill in the blank. Any team that plays Texas inside the state. You know who Texas' rival is? Oklahoma. That's pretty much it. Used to be A&M, but right now it's Oklahoma. And that...
Used to be Arkansas, too.
Yeah, to a lesser extent. But the reality is, you know, those teams, if you're Baylor, we got to beat Texas. That's our thing. Texas Tech, we got to beat Texas. TCU. Texas is their big rivalry.
Yeah.
To Texas, they're just other teams in the way. And that's how the Texans are to the Cowboys. For the fans, it's a rivalry. But the Cowboys have real rivalries with the Giants, with the Redskins, with the Eagles, to a lesser extent with the Packers, the 49ers back in the day. They've got other rivalries. And for Houston fans, it's like, it'd be great. I don't think Dallas cares. Would it make sense from a regional standpoint? Sure. And then maybe you develop that rivalry. But I hate to break it to you, but nobody's looking at the Texans saying, I wish they were in our division. That'd be a cool rivalry.
Right.
And that's just because it's just a mediocre program that's been there forever.
What if you somehow aligned it where you took you took bunches of four teams that are the closest geographically to each other.
I think that's what Lamont was suggesting in the beginning, that you make it based on geographical regions, which I guess in this case would be Texans, Cowboys, Saints. Who would the other one be?
Texans, Cowboys, Saints, and maybe
Kansas City?
Yeah, probably Kansas City.
Or Atlanta.
Atlanta would probably be in with Miami and Tampa and Jacksonville.
Yeah. That'd be like an SEC division. But
or maybe instead of Kansas City, use Arizona.
Well, that'd be the other one that you would think about, although you probably need them to balance your West Coast, I'm guessing. Because you've already got Kansas City in the West.
Yeah.
So you'd have Vegas, San Francisco, the two LA teams, and Arizona.
You got to have Seattle and Denver, too.
Denver, I guess, would be the one you would move. Right? Is that enough? Is that eight teams? It's Seattle, Denver, two LAs, Arizona, Vegas. That's seven.
So you have...
You need one. You're going to have one team that goes West no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just don't know how, again, it just doesn't work unless you move another team out there.
Well, what if the Texans and Cowboys were on the West Coast group? Seattle.
But now you've got nine.
Seattle, San Francisco, the two LAs, Vegas, Arizona.
Denver.
Oh, so Cowboys, Texans. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So...
Maybe it would just be the Chiefs would be that eighth team.
Maybe. Well, that again, though, kind of defeats the whole purpose, right? If you're trying to do it regionally.
And then in the South, you could have Cowboys, Texans, Saints, Titans, and then the three Florida teams in Atlanta. And then you have, like, I don't know. All those teams are jammed up in the Midwest and the East Coast, but...
Yeah.
There'd be like a Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago, Indy, Detroit, Cleveland, Cincinnati grouping, and then the coastal teams.
You probably move Pittsburgh and Philly to the east.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it breaks down when you really try to do it. I just don't think it works.
Yeah, you might be right.
And, you know, but
by the way, this is the most giant waste of time conversation we may have ever had on the show.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Let's move on to something else.
We took a hypothetical and was like, yeah, let's run with that.
And then the more you run with it, the more you realize, okay, this is just dumb.
It's complete nonsense.
I have some news on Carlos Correa, if you guys want to talk about that.
Is it about him being broken?
A little bit.
Okay.
I think we already knew that.
Yeah. AJ's favorite person, Christy Reichen.
Reichen. Yeah, she is reeking.
I still don't even know. Oh, that's the lady that said...
The MMA lady. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, she wrote a story and says that Carlos Correa says that he's in pain. Every swing and miss hurts his aching back. And on the bad days, it can be even uncomfortable to walk.
Ouch.
I don't think anybody's surprised by that.
No.
If you've watched him since he's come back.
Never forget Christy Reichen said that an NBA preseason game is a bigger draw than a UFC heavyweight championship bout. Just never forget that. And she works in the sports industry.
Yeah, she's your voice of AP for Houston.
Yep.
Congratulations. I just think it's a lack of understanding. Did you go off on her over that, or did you just...
No, I went off on her on air. I didn't know who the hell she was at the time. Well, you guys had to tell me who she was.
Well, next time you see her, you can tell her.
Yeah, give her the Palillo finger.
Tisk, tisk.
Tisk, tisk. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. This is one of those things where you admire the guy for trying to play, or you say, you know what, get your ass out of there, you're not healthy.
Yeah, if you're not healthy, then... At some point, you gotta decide, well, am I helping the team or am I hurting the team? Would the team be better off with, you know, I don't know who takes his at-bats. You assume Marwin moves to shortstop or Bregman moves to shortstop and Marwin plays third. Or
Yuli plays third.
You probably have Tyler White at first. Gaddis DHing.
So Tyler White is the guy who probably is the most...
I guess if you stretch it all the way out, it would be Gaddis who would play.
Gaddis is the guy who's getting the most...
It's almost a wash, uptick, I guess. but defensively you'll take a hit because I think he came out and said that defensively it doesn't hurt, but it's just when he swings and misses. Yeah.
See that
only when he misses. When he hits it, it feels good.
You know what? I'm going to go with a little bit of BS on that because you do have to bend over a lot at shortstop to make plays. That's going to be tough on your back too. It kind of sounds like an excuse to me. Dude, just admit that you got engaged and that's the problem. If you hadn't gotten engaged, you'd be fine.
God, and that's the other thing. Evan Gattis in September was 7-for-41.
Yeah, so you know what? Just leave him in there.
Yeah, just keep playing Correa. One homer. Seven. Like, he's basically, you're getting better from Correa than you would from Gattis.
And at least Correa has been, he's looked better at the plate the last couple of games, and he did hit the home run. But, I mean, before that, he at least looked okay.
Well, I guess the other option would be you could put, instead of Gattis, give those at-bats to Brian McCann.
It's not like he's been great either.
I don't know.
And do you really want, well, I guess you could DH him, and then if you had to switch catchers,
right,
that wouldn't be that big a deal. But
Yeah, Correa in September, 12-for-62, 194.
Okay.
So it's a wash.
I don't think that move is going to be what wins or loses the series for you. I think you just leave him out there.
I do too.
See Troy Aikman ripping Dak Prescott?
Should. Dak Prescott's a total mess.
Well, here's what he said. What was Aikman known for as a quarterback?
Winning Super Bowls.
Right, by handing off to Emmitt Smith.
Yep.
And what was his best skill as a quarterback?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't have a big arm.
No, but he was accurate. That's what he's known for.
Yeah, well, he's accurate for a guy who throws a lot of picks.
No, but he was an accuracy guy. So what do you think he's criticizing Dak for?
Accuracy?
He needs to be more accurate with the football.
Well, yeah. I mean, every quarterback would be nice.
I've said for many years, as long as I can remember, when I'm asked, hey, what do you look for first in a quarterback? First thing I look for is accuracy because the rest of it doesn't matter. Okay, now you're just spanking your own critter, Troy. I mean, that's what he's doing. Man, this is one of those, this is why I was great because of accuracy. Says it doesn't matter how tough you are. He wasn't. Doesn't matter how smart you are. He's not. Or what a great leader you are. He's okay at that. None of that stuff matters if you can't put the ball where you have to put it. I've seen too many errant throws in that regard. And then there needs to be a little more anticipation. When there's two deep safeties, you're looking for somebody to take the middle of the field. And that should be your first read if you have somebody who is taking the middle of the field versus those kind of looks. I don't see great anticipation on what a defense is doing and how might I be able to exploit that pre-snap or as the ball is snapped. Troy, I don't think you would have exploited it very well if you didn't have Michael Irvin and company catching balls from you. So, yeah. Robert says he's taken Chargers, Vikings, Patriots, Saints, and Packers in a survival pool. He's still alive. He said, who would you take this week, Eagles, Falcons, or someone else?
Not the Falcons.
You know what I might be tempted to do? Don't take my advice on this. I might be tempted to take the Texans. It'd be your one chance to use them. If Watson's playing.
Yeah, that just seems so. I think Rams would maybe be on my list. Rams at Denver.
I might save the Rams.
I mean, he's clearly not playing with the strategy of save your good teams for the end. He's right. Clearly playing survive in
but
advance.
You know what? You know what? Look how many, I mean, there's not many people still in these damn things either.
Yeah.
Because, well, I was out week one. Thank you, Saints. But then that Vikings losing to the Bills, that killed a bunch of people.
I wouldn't mind Seahawks this week. Oh, they're on the road. Never mind that.
Yeah, road Seahawk.
What about Bears at Dolphin?
I don't know that I trust the Bears to win that.
Jags at Cowboy? No, you can't trust
Jags. No, I actually like Cowboy in that game.
Yeah, you may be, Texans may be an option for you. If it were me, I would take the Rams. I'd survive in advance and hope to find some better nonsense matchups next week.
If Watson's playing, I think I'd take the Texans.
That's probably fair. What am I doing here, John? Tri-Eagle? Tri-Eagle Energy. That's right, guys. There's a lot of electricity companies out there, a lot of energy providers, and they're going to have a ton of offers for you. Some will say free weekends. Some will say free days. Some will say, we'll give you a $600 bonus. And all that stuff sounds really good on the surface. And then a couple months later, you find out, wait a minute, now I'm paying a higher rate on my bill. What's going on with that? Or they're throwing additional fees your way. That's nonsense. Tri-Eagle doesn't believe in that. The rate you see is the rate you pay. End of discussion. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. Good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. Call 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Hey, guys. Crawling until we can't walk. Join ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1, and it's a Houston thing. Saturday, October 20th, in the first annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl. Going to be the biggest group of Houston sports fans repping their team or teams while hitting the hottest pubs, bars, and restaurants downtown on Main Street. Get in now before the prices go up. It's just $20, but you'll cash in because here's what all you get for your $20. Limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone shirt, pub crawl wristband, cup, koozie, sample Thrive Plus, and $3 drinks. Tickets are available now at htxpubcrawls.com. Hurry before the prices go up. And a couple people on the text line tell me that you're way off on Aikman and that he was much better than that. I just would point out that his record when he threw for over, I think, 250 yards, he had a losing record. Whenever they asked him to win a game, generally they would lose. He was really good at managing that offense. He was the ultimate game manager. And he also, for a guy as good as he was a turnover machine.
Yeah.
And not just the interceptions, but he fumbled 5-6 times a year. 7 times a year. Those are things that I count. So, based on winning Super Bowls, yeah, Hall of Famer. Based on if I could start a team with a Hall of Fame quarterback, he's going to be way down my list of guys.
Way down. Who would you rather have, him or Terry Bradshaw?
There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're kind of the same guy.
And they're guys who were blessed to be on the teams that they were on.
And they weren't. I mean, they were better than average quarterbacks, don't get me wrong.
Right.
In fact, they were good quarterbacks, and they were good quarterbacks on great teams, and so they benefited a lot from that.
But those two guys, like, compare those two guys to Jim Kelly and Dan Marino, who never won a Super Bowl, but I'd take both those quarterbacks over Aikman and Bradshaw.
Yeah, the only thing with Kelly, my only negative on Kelly, is, boy, he's another guy who had a ton of talent around him.
Yeah,
Thurman Thomas, well, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith on defense. They had a great offensive line. Yeah, there was just, yeah, and that's no knock on the guy, but if I'm going to knock Aikman for having talent around
that's
him,
fair.
Kelly had talent around him too. All right, let's wrap up. It's already over. The show's over. Except for deaths. We have to do famous deaths. And we start with political figures. 1870, Robert E. Lee, dead of pneumonia at 63. 1869, Franklin Pierce, the 14th U.S. president, dead at 64.
Isn't he the one that looks like he looks really young and like he's got the slick hair?
I don't remember him. 1793, John Hancock. He signed off at the age of 56.
Happy Hancocktober.
Yeah. 1792, George Mason, dead of natural causes at 66. I guess they named a school after him. You didn't like my he signed off on Hancock.
I did.
You just kind of stepped on it.
Yeah. All I could think about was Hancocktoberfest.
So you just ignored it. Fine. All right. 1950, Willis Carrier, who invented modern air conditioning.
God bless that man.
Thank you, Mr. Carrier.
That's a true hero.
Yep. He went cold at 73.
Oh, come on.
Just trying here. 1945, Milton S. Hershey, American chocolate tycoon, dead at 86. I don't have a chocolate joke. 1809, Meriwether Lewis, American soldier, public administrator, and explorer, better known as the Lewis and Clark Expedition, dies under mysterious circumstances at 35.
My guess is he was under the Meriwether.
Okay. Was that the one with, like, Sacagawea?
You like that, John?
Yeah, I liked it.
Right, it wasn't bad. I should have stepped on it, though, since you should have.
So, well, listen, Mr. Hancocktoberfest, you brought this on yourself.
How?
That
was such a reach. All right, best deaths. Let's blast through these. Al Davis, 2011, dead at 82. All he does is die. 2004, Christopher Reeve, dead at 52. 2004, Ken Caminiti.
Oh, man.
1999, Wilt Chamberlain, dead at 63.
All he does is...
Well, he's dead, too. 1997, John Denver, dead in a plane crash at 53. Orson Welles in 85. 1849, Edgar Allan Poe, dead at the age of 40. All right, here's your porn star. 2002, Nozomi Momoi, died from?
I'm going to go car wreck.
Murder-suicide.
Damn it.
All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, John. Great job, Hoffman. Pretty good job, me. We'll be back tomorrow. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.